fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with Deacon Zoltán Kunszabó and his lovely wife, Pani, are here from Budapest, Hungary. Yes. Did I say that right, Zoli?
Yes, it's great. Yes, hello to everybody.
Okay, very good. And they're going to be here with us this whole week. And if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program yesterday, we began the week with both Pani and Zoli sharing their story of how they encountered Christ really for the first time, the transforming, life-changing encounter with Jesus, and how that began to awaken their faith. And so we want to kind of pick up where we left off yesterday. If you didn't hear the program yesterday and you'd like to hear it, you can go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them on your computer, download them, put them on your iPod, iPad, whatever you put them on to listen to. You'll find that it was well worth your while. So welcome back, you two.
Hello.
Good to see you, yes. So Pani, let's start with you. You shared a very moving story yesterday of the very challenging situation growing up in your family. Father was an alcoholic, but also died when you were 11 years old. You were actually quite close to him, and the pain and the difficulty which kind of left you on your own in a certain way. And you talked about for months after secondary school, having to move out of your house and find your own way. You got a job, you had an apartment where you lived alone, but night after night, you said for months, asked the question lying in bed at night, God, are you real? Is there something really here? And then you told us a very touching story of when you began to encounter the Lord. Could you repeat that part? Then let's just talk about where it went from there.
Yeah, I was very interested in God's in exist or not.
Yeah.
And it was really important for me because I decided to leave the church if he doesn't exist.
Yeah.
I didn't want to pretend like church believer or God believer. And when I met God, it was so intensive. I was shocked. I realized.
Share with our listeners today what that experience was like that day.
I realized that there is a huge love that I cannot imagine, bigger than I could imagine. And I realized how important I am for God, how he loves me, how deeply he loves me. And I realized how important it was what had happened beforehand. And it was because of his aim. And it was through his love, whatever happened in my whole life.
You went to a prayer meeting.
Yeah.
That turns out that Zoli, who you'd never met, now your husband,
yes,
was leading.
Yeah.
You don't remember much about him, but you remember, you said, walking in there, and from the moment you walked in,
yeah,
you just felt tremendous love.
Yes, and I always said to my friends who invited me beforehand that no one will tell me anything about it. I have to meet it personally.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to listen to a preacher or anyone's thoughts.
Yes,
I wanted to know if God exists or not. That was my question. And I just arrived, and I was at the door, and the Holy Spirit just grabbed my whole body. It was physical fire in me.
You felt it. Wow, that intense.
Yeah. Yes.
And it was the grace of the Holy Spirit, and it was like a revelation of God's love, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was an anti-charismatic person.
Yeah.
So it confused me really a lot. And this huge fire just burned out every pain in my soul. It was really intensive.
It was like it was a tremendous healing that happened there,
it sounds like. It lasted for 2 hours, and Zoli finished the meeting.
Yeah.
And I wanted to say goodbye, but I couldn't speak afterwards. And all my old friends were there, and they were really happy that, oh, Pani, you arrived. We wanted you so much. For a year, we invite you. And I just couldn't speak. I just smiled as a drunken person, and no word came out from my mouth.
It's like Father Cantalamessa's book, The Sober Intoxication of the Spirit.
Yes, it was. It was.
Yeah.
And I just walked home. It was entirely another part of the city. We live in a capital, so it was quite a long walk.
Living in Budapest.
Yeah. From Budapest side to Pest side.
Yeah.
I praised loudly on my own at night. And when I got home, I started to pray, and I couldn't finish till 2 weeks. For 2 weeks, I just couldn't finish praying.
Is that right? On the way home, you're walking, you're experiencing tremendous joy, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You just went, your heart just wanted to sing because you experienced so much freedom and joy.
Yeah, I was happy. I was so happy.
Yeah.
And after these 2 weeks, I could do whatever I wanted. Somehow my brain, my mental capacity was cleared out. Somehow I cannot say you in English.
So like growing up, academics were difficult for you. You couldn't concentrate, couldn't study. And so that meant it's very logical, living the life that you had to live, that it was very destabilizing and very difficult to focus and concentrate.
Yes.
But the Lord not only revealed his love, he actually healed you and released the natural gifts he's given to you as well. And that's beautiful.
And then I was very successful at the university. I got the full scholarship for an American university as well. So I was really successful in my studies afterwards. And I got my vision, what I have to do. Afterwards, I realized that I have to serve the poor ones. And it was very important for me because we were quite poor in my childhood. We were like a social family, and it's a huge shame.
Yeah.
And
you had to live on government help, is what you meant by that, growing up.
And so governmental clothes.
Really? Food, clothing, and everything. And your father couldn't provide for you because of his problem.
Yeah.
And not only the alcoholism, but also being on government assistance can be very shaming in terms of how you experience it.
Yes. So my brother decided to be a rich person, and he could. He became a millionaire, really. And I decided to be among poor ones. And it just happened right after my conversion. So I was sure that it's because of God's will.
So you experienced not only the revelation of God. That's how the Holy Spirit does it. The fundamental mission of the Spirit is to reveal the person of Jesus to every human heart. And he revealed the love of God, like Paul saying, you know, God's love was poured into my heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what was happening. And it's not just an experience. It's experiential knowledge of the living God.
Yeah.
And that knowledge has power. And it's life transforming. And it's amazing to see the healing and the transformation. And then the anointing leads to commission.
Yes.
Like the Lord reveals your purpose in terms of the vocation, the call, the particular mission he wants you to do and to accomplish. And our friends listening, I mean, that's how God wants to work with all of his people. I mean, it looks different in each one of us according to God only knows what we need. Like he knew exactly what you needed.
Yes.
You know, and he heard your heart cry for so long and he answered it, which is so beautiful. And so, Zoli, now when we finished with you yesterday, you talked the key point being meeting your college friend who really had encountered Christ, and there was something transformed in him. He had a life-changing experience as well, having met the person of Jesus. So then, where does that leave you? We have about 5 minutes. I'd like just to share with our friends kind of, how did you then come to encounter Christ in such a life-transforming way?
Yes, he was a great witness, but he was a newborn baby. I asked him how it happened to you. What did you do? What should you do if you want Christ? And he said, I was in a community, they preached the gospel, and they led me into a prayer. And I said to him, okay, lead me into the prayer. And he said, no, I'm a baby, I can't lead you to anywhere. I gave you anything I had, so you should wait for Saturday. It was Monday. And I said, oh no, it's too long. Let's see, what can I do till Saturday? How can I survive?
You would want to wait a whole week. You want to get what he had before the following
week.
But
I was waiting for Saturday. And it was a faith church, which was quite new in Budapest, Hungary at that time. It was just in the year when political changes had come in 89.
Communism had collapsed and the transition was going on.
Yes.
And you had this former Catholic seminarian who sort of had struggles with the church, and he went and started preaching in the streets and built the church.
Yes.
And it was that church that ended up going to.
Yes, it's Faith Church, under the influence of Derek Prince and Kenneth Hagin, mostly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I know those books also. And I went to their meeting, and it was really full of life. Everybody was praising like crazy people. I just looked around, and everybody was loudly speaking in tongues and praising the Lord. It was sincere, from their heart.
It was sincere, yeah.
Sincere, yeah. And all of them was, the whole congregation was consisted of new believers, you can imagine. Yeah. If there are a few hundred are together.
So many like you had grown up, probably no church experience in communist time.
Most of them, yeah.
Yeah, hardened by communism, wondering if, you know, the worldview they were taught about the world was real, if there was a God, and they themselves encountered Christ.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And when the altar call came, I was running. I want to be the first. And I really prayed a prayer as I invited Jesus to my heart. I repented, and I asked the Father to be my Father also, and I asked the Holy Spirit to fulfill me. And what I received, it's a very deep peace. It wasn't dramatic at that moment. I just received peace, and I was convinced that it's true. And I became a churchgoer at least 3 or 4 times a week. I spent my evenings in that church. But very quickly I realized that their teaching is quite, I'm sorry to anybody who is in that line, quite shallow in a way, and I needed much more solid foundations. And I said to myself, because I studied history and literature, that what is the key, what they use for the scriptures? And I saw that the pastor's own viewpoints are too important. And I said to myself, if it's written by the apostles or disciples of the apostles, I want to know that understanding, what the authors had.
What the authors or the writers had, and not just what this particular pastor
Absolutely.
Had in his reading of it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that led me to find, is there any teaching from the ancient church? And I was happy. I found a lot. Apostolic fathers. I began to study. I began to study a kind of catechism of the Catholic Church. It was forbidden, but I bought one. I was very boldly bought, and I bought one in a Catholic store, and I was shocked. Wow, it's so scripture-based. It's so clear. It's so easy to follow. And I decided, after a lot of prayers, I decided I will become a Catholic. I was baptized Catholic.
As a baby?
As a baby.
Yeah.
But I came back to the Catholic Church, and I found, by God's grace, a Catholic charismatic community, and I begin to serve at the very beginning.
Yes, it's wonderful. Both of you, I mean, even though your stories are very different, you were baptized, Pani, too, as a baby?
Yes.
But grew up in families where it wasn't practiced that much. I mean, you did say your parents took you to church on occasion, but it wasn't like you ever were brought to a place where you can encounter Christ or be led to understand the core of the faith the way you were. And the Lord has his ways when the heart starts crying out. I mean, it was the Lord who moved you to cry out anyway, right, Pani and Zoe? So that's what the Lord wants to do with each and every one of us, friends. And those of you who are listening, there might be someone today who you too are crying out. You're searching. You don't know. You're longing to understand. Continue to cry out to the Lord. And I just ask the Lord's Holy Spirit would touch you today to lead you in the right direction, to lead you to the people that can help you encounter Christ and enter his church. God bless you, friends. Have a wonderful day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.